We start today's program with transportation in the Phoenix area and the CEO of Valley Metro, Scott Smith. Scott, welcome back.
Steve, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, last time you were here, I believe you were just the interim CEO.
So that's probably true.
So what made both sides agree this should be permanent, at least for a while?
You know, about a year ago, about 11 months ago, I got a phone call after Valley Metro had gone through a very traumatic experience with my predecessor. And they asked me if I'd be willing to hold down the fort, be interim CEO, something that I had never thought of doing. And I was just returning from another gig out of state. And I decided, it's part of a civic duty. And yes, I'll do it for up to a year. And I was fully planning on leaving in January. And as the board went through their search and we started talking about the candidates and the possibilities, the discussion sort of shifted to, would you be interested in staying on longer? It was both a matter of timing, the type of candidates they had, and hopefully the fact that I believe we'd done a good enough job that it interested them. So when they approached me and asked if I would consider staying, I had to think twice. I had a place to go. I was planning on leaving in January, and I really looked at the situation, looked at something I've loved and been passionate about, which is transportation in general, transit in particular, and believe that Valley Metro at this point in time needed ongoing stability. We needed to be able to hire the absolute right person for the long, long run. So I committed to stay at least another couple of years.
As you mentioned, there was some controversy with your predecessor. Do you think that is in the rearview mirror now, or do some people still wonder?
It's still in the rearview mirror. I don't think people wonder, but it's not out of the news yet because all the actions there with Mr. Banta have not been totally played out. We don't know what the Attorney General is going to do or will do. We have reached settlement with him. So as far as Valley Metro is concerned, we're moving on. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of projects that are coming up. And we're glad to move on, but it's never totally out of your rearview mirror until everything seems to play out, and I don't know when that'll be.
When you were Mesa mayor, you were a big fan of light rail, and it had a big impact in Mesa, as it's had a big impact on other areas of the Valley. Did you think it was going to be this successful, and would you characterize it as successful?
First of all, I would characterize it as successful beyond anyone's imagination. If you look at the numbers, we are blown way past the projections, and we're now carrying over almost 55,000 people a day on light rail, which is 20-25% more than anyone ever imagined. It has had an impact on development and investment decisions that goes beyond anyone's dreams. If you look at the 26-mile route, which went through some areas that had seen better days. Let's be honest. You look at Main Street, Apache Boulevard, even Washington Central. This is not the heyday of those streets. And you look at the investment in that corridor it's been 8 years since light rail's been open. I know it's hard to believe, has been open, and it's past $9 billion. Now, not all of that is absolutely based on or caused by light rail, but if you look at the 10 or 20 years before light rail came in, the investment in that corridor was a fraction of that. So when we look at the combination of the people, the way that it's changed people's lives, the way people perceive Phoenix, and the actual economic activity that it's created, I think there's no doubt that light rail has been a great success.
How much expansion is possible, and if there isn't a lot of expansion, can the impact of light rail be extended? And on top of that, what about certain communities like Scottsdale that seem not in favor and maybe even strongly against? Does that limit how large an effect light rail can have?
Well, first of all, light rail, even if you look at some conservative plans and maps, could expand, and there's ideas to expand it to well over 65, 70 miles as we head out west, down the I-10 corridor toward West Phoenix and Goodyear, Avondale, and those places. As we head to the northeast, up into the Tatum and Shea type area, as you go down through the Fiesta District and Chandler, and maybe even Gilbert, and as you head out northwest up to Metro Center, and also into Glendale, and perhaps even to Westgate, there's a lot of track that could be laid and could be built. The question is when will our appetite and our ability to pay for this and make this investment in a way that makes sense. When will that run out? And, you know, that's for really for us to decide now and for future generations to decide, because this is something that will take place over the next 10, 20, 30, even 40 years.
Yeah, Scott, explain a little bit about the funding for us. How much of that could come from Arizonans deciding to extend a sales tax? How much of that would have to come from federal authorities?
Well, none of it has to come from federal authorities, but we take advantage of funding.
But from a realistic point of view.
Realistic, probably 30 to 50% would come from federal sources. We have built our existing line using federal monies. The city of Phoenix built 3 miles using totally their money. The city of Mesa is building a 2-mile extension using repurposed road funds to do that. So there's a variety of ways you can fund it, but really the two primary sources going forward will be regional funds, and that is Prop 400 expires in 2025, and whatever that successor is, you hear it referred to as Prop 500, but we don't know what form it will take. Right. What the region decides they want to invest in that, and then how much the federal government will continue to play in transit. And it'll be those will probably be the most significant portions. Now, one thing that is starting to come into play a lot around the country, we're seeing it right now in highways in Phoenix with the South Mountain Freeway, is private money, the public-private partnership. We don't know quite yet how that will play out in transit. There are some rail lines in other parts of the country where the private money is being invested. We know that around the world, private money is a big player. I would expect that in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see a perfecting of the model. And I think that long term, you'll have to add that component, just like we have on highways, as one of the major sources of funding, and one that will increase the possibilities. It will either expand the network, or it will facilitate a shortening of the time frame when we can build out the network.
So even with the concerns that some people have about President-elect Trump, he has talked about infrastructure and wanting to fund infrastructure. Does that make you optimistic in the sense that maybe there would be more money for highway projects, for transit projects, et cetera?
I'm very, very almost excited when I hear that when Donald Trump gets up and in his victory speech, the first thing he mentioned was infrastructure. I don't know what his specific ideas are. I like the idea that infrastructure can and should be discussed as a nonpartisan, if not bipartisan, issue. It always has been. Infrastructure investment has been essential to our growth in America. When you go back to the Erie Canal, the Transcontinental Railroad, the interstate highway system, we're great because of the freedoms we have, the free flow of capital, and because we've built things. We've built things that are generational. We've built things that move people and goods and ideas across this country and into our cities. As we become more urbanized, we have to talk about transit in the same breath as we talk about transportation, highways, freeways. And that's something that here in Arizona, we really need to make sure that we do. When we've talked about transportation, it's usually been streets, and that's understandable. We're a big state. We have a lot of areas, but we're also one of the most highly urbanized states in the country. I think we're number two after Nevada. People are clustered in the Metro Phoenix and Metro Tucson, and so as we become more of an urban type city, we need to look at urban alternatives, urban options, and light rail is that, bus transit. I think one of the big things we're going to hear about, and we already are talking about it, is the shared economy, are the Ubers and the Lyfts, and how will that impact things like public transit. But when you hear a President-elect Trump talk about how infrastructure is important, an urban guy who grew up in a big city and who knows the importance of having multimodal transportation options, I'm optimistic. Now, how does he do that with a Republican legislature who, frankly, in previous years has not been that optimistic, and they don't look at investment in infrastructure as a true investment, and that's because the discussion on infrastructure has sort of been warped over the last decade. But I'm optimistic that at least we'll be able to have that discussion, and hopefully, it'll free up some federal monies and incentivize some states to make more investments in things like transit.
Scott, one other important development that is occurring is in the city of Phoenix, expanding bus routes, expanding how often buses are available so people are not sitting and waiting. Do you think that's an important development? Is that something that other Valley cities are going to have to adopt? Because light rail, as we talked about, can be used in certain areas, but still not available in others. Buses are available almost universally.
It's very important, and the voters of Phoenix overwhelmingly approved this 30-plus billion dollar investment. One of the interesting things about our bus system is that it's sort of a quasi system. It carries over 50 million passengers a year. It is not a small operation between Valley Metro and the city of Phoenix. But we generally operate on 30-minute frequencies. It's hard to really develop or understand if that transit system can work when buses are only coming by every 30 minutes. A light rail comes by every 12 minutes. If you miss one, you'll pick up the next one. And so you have confidence. A lot of people are unwilling to give transit a real try because they're afraid that if I miss that bus, I'm waiting a half an hour. And that doesn't give you the kind of consistency and confidence in the system. Phoenix, in expanding the bus system, has really expanded hours. They now run from 4 a.m. to midnight. But most importantly, many of those 30-minute headways have now been reduced to 20 and even minutes and even less. So you now get in your bus transportation the kind of consistency you see in the larger cities, the kind that will make people think, you know, I can have confidence in this system. It's not quite as much as an imposition, and I can trust it. We're really watching carefully to see what that does to ridership and how that changes people's habits in Metro Phoenix.
Scott Smith is CEO of Valley Metro. Scott, good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for having me on.